This afternoon at 4:30, this meeting house will once again rock with the contemporary worship music led by our Spark Band with guitar and piano and drum and, of course, vocal accompaniment. But this month, those who come to this afternoon service will also get some rocks. We will have a moment in our worship service this afternoon where people will take an index card and write on it a burden or a challenge or a trial that they might be going through at this time in their life. They will come forward and put that card with that burden, with that challenge in a basket, but then they will get to take a rock not unlike these. And the little rocks have various words on them: love, harmony, peace, calm, comfort, friends, family. So they get to take a rock so they can feel that even as they face, even as we all face a burden or a challenge in life, we also are enriched day in and day out by a blessing from God. In each of us, God is within each of us. God's love is within each of us. And so what life then becomes is finding that particular piece of God's love that is within us and then sharing that love that is within us from God, sharing it with our neighbor, with our friend, and with the world. In the passage that John will now read to us, we hear that God is within us. We also hear that God is love. So there is God in each of us when we then share that love with the world. And when we do that, we truly rock.
The scripture passage that I read this morning, I just learned this morning myself, is not from the book of John, it's actually from 1 John. And so there is an error in the program. You'll find this passage in the Pew Bible on page 236, not 93, as it's printed here. So I will read from 1 John, chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent us his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us and his love is perfected in us. May God bless his understanding of this reading.
Thanks be to God. I remember the day pretty clearly. It was the second semester of my sophomore year, and I was taking an education class, my first education class, and I met my friend Mike. Mike is funny and friendly, and we immediately hit it off. I think there are two reasons that that happened. First, he was very religious. He grew up in a Catholic family and went to Mass every week growing up. And then during college, he went to Mass right across the street at the Catholic church, and he invited me to go with him and actually sing in the choir, which little did he know that I don't have a choir singing voice, but that it was really a great way to meet other college kids that kind of had some of the same values that I did. And then the other thing that Mike and I had in common was our love of children. Mike grew up coaching soccer and always knew he wanted to be a teacher. And the joke between Mike and I is if we were still single when we were both 40, then we would start a foster home together. Mike is an amazing man, and he's flexible and caring. And so when I announced that I was pregnant with twins and therefore couldn't lead our youth mission trip to LA, guess who stepped in but Mike, driving down from Framingham, Massachusetts once a month to be with our youth, and then leading them on a trip to LA And actually, I had the boys while the youth and Mike were on that mission trip. Mike is caring and loving, and a few years ago started taking classes through the state of Massachusetts so that he could adopt a child. You see, when most people go to adopt, not all, but some, they want a cute baby, you know. But Mike knew for two reasons that that really wasn't in the cards for him. Number one, he's a single person who's going to be raising a child, so logistically. And then second, he knew that often it's the older children that are left in the system, unwanted by other people. And so Mike met Jordan once, kind of like a blind date kind of thing. When he explained it, it's very random and kind of a little strange, but he met Jordan and then read his file. And it was then that some of his friends started saying, "No, I don't think you should adopt Jordan. It doesn't sound like a good match." You see, Jordan has a very tough past. It was during that time that I talked to Mike, and I could tell that Mike was supposed to be Jordan's father. There was a commitment, a dedication, a passion that Jordan was supposed to be Mike's child, no matter how rough his life had been. I'm happy to say that Mike is now father to Jordan, a 10-year-old, sassy, energetic, and very smart child. You see, we all have God in us. We all have God's spirit and God's love in us. Our call is to let that spirit and to let that love out into the world. Let it loose. It is then that we can say to one another, "You rock. Mike, you rock." Because you've coached kids in soccer, because you teach middle school kids on a daily basis, because you've done children's theater with so many hundreds of kids. But most of all, Mike, you rock because you opened your heart and your home to a beloved child of God named Jordan.
This past Wednesday, Ann Higgins turned 95. Ann Higgins is a United Church of Christ pastor, and when she went through seminary at Yale Divinity School in the 50s and became ordained, this was not a common thing for women. Ann and Arthur Higgins passed away a few years ago, but Ann and Arthur served as mentors for me as I was going through Yale Divinity School, heading out into, yes, church ministry, but heading out wanting to do the work of peace, social justice, racial justice, immigration reform, criminal justice, build low-income housing for families and for the elderly across the state. They were mentors and friends as I went into the ministry, but they also became personal friends. One illustration of that, when we were living in Higginham, and had Meg, my second daughter, baptized. Ann preached the sermon at the service, and Arthur did the baptism of Meg. Well, I tried to see Ann this week on her birthday, or some point this week during her birthday week, but guess what? She was too busy. She was too busy. I was emailing with her daughter, Leslie. Apparently, every Thursday afternoon, someone comes in. Ann is a wonderful artist, writes poetry. So someone comes in on Thursday afternoons to do poetry, to do drawing, to do pottery with her. So couldn't go Thursday. Friday afternoon, she has a volunteer that comes in each week to talk about what's going on in the world, to talk about peace and justice and immigration, prison reform, criminal justice reform. Well before her time, Ann Higgins was highlighting an issue that our candidates are now highlighting now in Congress, prison reform. She knew 20 years ago that incarcerating people for drug offenses was maybe not the wisest policy. She's been out on the forefront of social justice, racial justice issues. So every Friday afternoon, she wants to talk about these things. And so at the age of 95, Ann Higgins continues to care for the least of these in our world. Ann Higgins, you truly rock.
Scripture tells us that there is God within all of us and that our call is to let that out and to affect and change and to affect one another. And clearly that's what Ann did for David and Mike did for me. We all have that God in us, but we show it in different ways. Trenton and Estella showed it in profound ways that affected so many people.
The story of Trenton's love is pretty amazing and extraordinary. Trenton is a 12-year-old boy, and he has a 10-year-old sister who was born with a disorder called spinal muscular atrophy, which has meant since her earliest days she's been in a wheelchair. So Trenton could be just one of those older brothers teasing, not being very kind to his younger sister. But as it's turned out, Lindsay Cochran is Trenton's best friend. Trenton will describe when he's out with his sister in public and she's in the wheelchair, when people stare at her, he just wants to say, she's a human being, just like the rest of us. Love her, she's a human being. He also realizes that caring, he will do anything for his sister, do anything for her. And that's helped him to mature a little bit earlier, he realizes. So he's helping other people with disabilities, helping anybody that he sees that needs help. Lindsay says of her older brother, I could not get through this life as easily if I did not have Trenton. The interview I heard about Trenton talking about his relationship with Lindsay is pretty poignant. He simply says, she is my best friend. I would do anything for her. I would take a bullet for her. My life would be nothing without her. Trenton, because of your amazing love for your younger sister, Lindsay, you truly rock.
Estella has retired. And most people, when they retire, right? Or at least some people think about, dream about Florida and golf and all those great things, right? Well, Estella lives in Florida, was born there, grew up there, one of seven. And her dad was a migrant worker, and her parents never went past fourth grade. Well, Estella did. She graduated high school, and she graduated college, and then graduate school. You see, she was a 50-year educator in the rural town in Florida. And her husband decided to spend their retirement savings on a bus. You got it, a bus. You see, Estella noticed that there was a problem with technology with the kids that she was teaching. You see, sometimes those parents were making decisions about whether to buy food or pay for the rent or the mortgage, and so there wasn't a lot of extra money necessarily to buy computers and things like that. So in 2009, Estella and her husband used their retirement money, bought a bus, and outfitted it with lots of computers. And Estella said instead of having the children and families come to the bus, they went to them. They drove it in the neighborhood, and they offer classes to three-year-olds on up, some academic, but some life skills, how to balance a checkbook, things like that. Estella not only offers this technology that she says opens the door for these young children to then be able to perform and do well in their lives and in their careers, but she noticed that some were hungry and some needed new clothes. And so she hooked up with other organizations that were doing those things. And Estella's brilliant bus became more than just computer and technology education, but it became a safe haven. It is a safe haven where kids can learn, where they can be fed, where they can be loved. And Estella says, why does she do it? You know, retirement, it's supposed to be the time you enjoy life and read books and play golf. No, she says she gets her energy from those children. When she sees their smiles and hears their words, I did it. I did it. Estella knows that she will never tire of this mission to bring the brilliant bus to the children in Florida. Estella, you saw a need in the world, and you have committed your time and love and attention and money. Estella, you rock.
Well, friends, we know, we say it week after week, First Church rocks as a community, as a family of faith. But it in part rocks because each of you find that God that is within you, that love that is within you, and then you find that particular place where you want to let that love come out in a place that you're called to share God's love. One of the privileges that Kate and I have is knowing the many places where each one of you rock. Raymond, you rock when you come into our office with your smile and your jokes, and you help us compile the reminder newsletter month after month after month.
John and Rosemary, you rock because you have taken on the challenge of leading this congregation and opening our homes and our hearts to a refugee family. Rosemary and John, you rock.
Marty, you rock because for years you have cared for the town of Glastonbury as a public servant. You continue to care for this community in so many ways. Marty, you rock.
I was going to start naming each and every teacher in this room, but I can't because there's so many of you. Amy and Chelsea, and you know, you got it. I think Emily's still there, yep, behind the pole. There's so many of you. You make time for our children, and our children become your children. For all the teachers and educators, anyone who loves our children, you rock.
Julie and Dean, you rock because of your care for the youth of the north end of Hartford, the care and the love that you share with them. You rock.
Caitlin, because of the skill and time you give your patients as a nurse, Ron, Sarah, I could go on and on and on about those in the medical profession that give time and care and love to maybe us, but also our friends, our family members. You all rock.
Yerim, you rock as a ringer. Leah, you rock as the youth deacon. And Eric, you rock as a member of our ninth grade confirmation class.
We could go on and on and on. Each of you bring these special gifts, and so we say to you, you rock.
Because this place rocks, because each of you rock in your own particular way, when God looks down upon this place and looks down upon each one of you, God says, you rock.